The scripture reading this morning will be out of Mark, chapter 10, verses 28 through 31. Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first."
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities that we have to be with one another. We're thankful for those songs led by Brother Dave, the prayer by Brother Jason, and the scripture reading by Brother Greg. Always thankful for those who are willing to serve in those capacities. The baby's getting closer and closer, and it's taking a toll on me. I don't like the unexpected. And with babies, sometimes it's unexpected. So I feel like I walk around on eggshells, so we'll see. Certainly all things will work out, and we're excited, but as a father and a husband, nervous. But I guess that's just to be expected. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 10, if you'll turn your Bibles there. We had our reading there, and that's going to be our focus, but there is a little bit of a build-up and certainly context to get into the situation where Peter is responding to Jesus and the response that he gives back. But the question I want to focus on this morning is, what have you gained? Because I think that's really what Jesus is kind of battling a little bit with Peter, is he's battling a little bit with his perspective. And you might disagree a little bit with that, but I'll try to kind of build in to what's going on. I think Peter is having a little bit of an issue with perspective. And I think many times we have that issue. And I think in context, when we start to look at these individuals, we're going to look at the rich young ruler. I think he has an issue with keeping perspective. You know, there are so many blessings associated with the Christian life. And many times we take those for granted. Many times we don't acknowledge them. And when we go through those periods in our lives, what happens is we really have turned away from the blessings and we started to look at something else. We're not looking at the blessings of the Christian life. We're looking at the hardships of the Christian life. We're looking at the things that we've lost because of our stance that we've taken, perhaps, in going with the Christian life. And I think that's almost a little bit what's going on here with Peter. If you look in Mark chapter 10, and you start in verse 17, what do we have the account of? We have the account of the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler is having a conversation with Jesus, and he says, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" There's a dialogue that goes on there, and I think we're familiar with some of that dialogue that takes place. And the dialogue continues, and verse 20, as the conversation continues, he says, he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." What has Jesus said? He says, "Hey, I want eternal life." Jesus directs him towards certainly things that he should be doing in relation to the commandments. And he's like, "Hey, I'm good with these things. I don't steal. I don't do this. I don't do this." And he says, "I've done these things since my youth." And then Jesus really hones in on the rich young ruler's problem. In verse 21, it says, "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me.'" See, I think Jesus is really pointing out that perhaps the rich young ruler has a little problem with covetousness, a little bit of letting go some things of the world. But verse 22, we see the rich young ruler's response. It says, "But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowfully, because he had great possessions." Isn't that a crisis of perspective? Is that the rich young ruler would not give up the things of the world so that he could have the spiritual and everlasting things. Now, if we continue on, a conversation breaks out with Jesus' disciples. They're looking at this account that has just been given of the rich young ruler, and I'm sure that's why it's in context here, but then says Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven?" And the conversation begins. And I think when you read down through there, what you really have is why did the rich young ruler not go after eternal life? And I think we look at it and we're like, well, it was because of the things of the world. And this conversation breaks out about pursuing the kingdom, and I think this idea of priorities and this idea of letting some of the things of the world go. And then we get verse 28. It says, "Then Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you.'" I'm trying to put this in perspective as best I can. We're looking at this account of the rich young ruler. Why did he not follow God? Because of the pursuit of worldly things. And then we get into this conversation, well, how hard is it in relation to the pursuit of worldly things and the pursuit of God? And certainly there's a discussion there. And then Peter says, he began to say to him, and he says, "See, we have left all and followed you." When Peter says that, so many times Peter's the first one to ask the question. He's the first one to jump out in front and take the hit. He's the first one to always jump out in line and ask the... And I think that Peter here, for a second, he's acknowledging the truth of his life. But certainly I think perhaps Jesus is going to have him try to catch his perspective. I think it is easy in this life, as we try to live the Christian life, as we try to pursue Christ, and we try to live the life that He wants us to live, it's easy at moments and at times to focus on things that we've lost. Isn't that not in Peter's statement a little bit? He says, God, he says, we've left all. The rich young ruler didn't leave all. I think that almost in that question, although I could be wrong, but I've read that over and over again, and I think, and I look at Jesus' answer, and almost like Jesus is trying to say, don't look at what you've lost. Look at what you've gained. Look at what Jesus responds. He responds there when Peter says, Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." And Jesus answered and said, "As surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wives, or children, or land, for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life." Wouldn't the rich young ruler have been in a better spot if he would have focused just for a moment on not what he was about to lose, but what he was about to gain? Wouldn't we, as Christians, take a great lesson from what Jesus is really doing here? I think Peter, although there's a lot of truth in what Peter has said, we think about Peter's situation. Certainly Peter did leave so many things. We remember in Matthew chapter 4, we have Peter and Andrew, and they're fishing. And Jesus says, "Come and follow me." And what does Peter leave? He leaves his whole livelihood, does he not? He leaves security. I'm sure Peter was a talented fisherman. He could have done that throughout his life. He could have had security. He could have been okay. Everything would have been fine in the physical sense. But when you view it from a physical sense, Peter says, he comes to the conclusion, I've left all. I left my livelihood. I left everything to go after you, Jesus. So what will I receive? And it's almost like Jesus is saying, you've already received a whole lot. Don't focus on what you've lost. Focus on what you have gained. Because when we fall into that trap, we could fall into the trap very easily, the rich young ruler. Some of our friends, perhaps even ourselves, have fallen into that trap at some point where we looked and said, look what we've lost. And the rich young ruler didn't even follow God because he was so focused on what he was going to lose. Are you focused on what you've lost, or are you focused on what you've gained? Because what I would suggest to you is that when we follow Christ, don't we gain so many things that we lose perspective on? Many things that the world doesn't have, they'll never have. The rich young ruler will not have these things because he did not leave those things so he could gain other things. Certainly we think about eternal life, but there are other things that are unique to the Christian life that cannot be accessed any other place. I look at this conversation, we look at the rich young ruler, we look at the discussion of worldly things, and Peter's like, hey, I've left everything. And when Jesus answered, it's almost like he's saying to Peter, don't look at what you've lost, look at what you've gained. That's what I'd like to look at for the next few moments. Certainly there are so many blessings for the Christian life that if we tried to list those blessings, we would run short on time. We wouldn't have the time to do it. Certainly, when we become a Christian, do we not become a better spouse? Do we not become a better family member? Do we not become a better sibling? Do we not become a better employee? Do we not become a better boss? Do we not become a better, and the list goes on and on. Don't look at what you've lost. Look at what you've gained. It's not that we haven't lost things in the pursuit of Christ. We all know that. Jesus talked about that. He discussed that. He talked about the narrow road. He discussed all the things that would be lost in pursuit of Christ. But I think when we start on the Christian life, we cannot focus on those things which we've lost. We have to focus on those things which we've gained. Because if we focus on those things which we've lost, or those things that we could potentially lose, it's possible that, like the rich man ruler, we'll never follow Jesus. We won't keep up the race. So many things that we could focus on, but I want to focus on three things that we have gained by following Jesus Christ. Number one is peace. Peace is a powerful thing. I think it goes overlooked in the Christian life. But having peace with God, having our eternal lives worked out, is that not such a great blessing that would really trump all those things that could have possibly been lost? We think of the peace, the rewards of following the Lord, the peace of a blessed life, having a purpose to pursue Christ, but certainly that peace. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We enjoy peace as Christians. Did the rich young ruler enjoy peace? It seems like just by his questions, he's got some things that he's dealing with in his mindset. When he comes to God, he says, hey, I want to have eternal life. What do I all have to have trying to work out? And God trying to start, Jesus starts having a conversation with him. You understand that the peace that you can have as a Christian is so different from what the world can possibly have? In fact, when you go to Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 22, it says, therefore, there is no peace, says God, for the wicked. You understand the peace that we're talking about, peace with God, a peace with our Creator, a peace that our life, our eternal life, is in good hands? Do you understand the peace that comes with that? That's a peace the world cannot have. That's a peace you can't buy. The rich young ruler, he had all kinds of money. You cannot buy the peace which we have. Don't look at what you've lost. If you focus on what you've lost too long, you'll get into a cycle of depression, considering those things, and perhaps it'll lead you away from God. Don't look at what you've lost. Look at what you've gained. And isn't that what Jesus is almost saying to Peter? He says, I know that you've lost a lot. Look at the list he starts rattling off. He says, I know. He says, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house, brother, sister, father, mother, wife, children, land. He goes off the list. He does not gloss over the idea that when people become Christians, that many things are left behind, many things are lost. But what does he tell Peter? He says, Two shall not receive a hundredfold in this time. I've read that many times, and I'm not sure that I've 100% got my mind around it. But you look at that, it's almost like God saying, yeah, you've lost a whole lot, but you know that as soon as you become a Christian, as soon as you start following God, that you have gained some things that the world does not have, that the world cannot possess. And one of those things is the peace that we have in relation to our relationship with God. The world does not have that peace. The world will worry about this, that, and the other. And they'll have a fake or artificial peace. They think they have security. But when it comes to eternal life, that is not something that they have. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 21, it says, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. The peace is for those that have followed God. You know, there is something special about that, that it doesn't matter whatever happens to you. It doesn't matter when death comes. It doesn't matter when disease comes. It doesn't matter that disaster comes. You know that everything is worked out in relation to your soul, in relation to your eternal life. And is not that peace powerful? A peace that the world will not have. In fact, I think it's one of the Christian's greatest weapons, one that we run away from sometimes. The peace that God gives us, I'm okay when disease comes. I'm okay when disaster comes. I'm okay when death knocks on my door. Why? Because of the peace I have with God. I'm not saying we don't struggle with things as we go throughout our lives, but we think of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. What a powerful gift God has given those who have followed Him. It's a security that the world that cannot be bought. You can have as many security cameras as you want. It's not the peace that God gives. You can have the biggest military that you want. It's not the peace that God gives. The peace with God is a powerful thing, a beautiful gift, something that God has given us that the world cannot take away. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Certainly we all struggle with anxiety to some level. And anxiety is really when we focus perhaps on the future too much. Depression is when we really focus on the past too much. And I think that God, He tries to find a middle ground. But you know what? God tries to work out your future, doesn't He? I'm not saying you're not going to have anxieties and you're not going to have struggles. We understand that those pop up. But in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, God's trying to give us a little bit of help with that. He says, "Be anxious for nothing." Well, how am I going to solve the anxiety? It says, go to God in prayer. And not only do we go to God in prayer, when we think of anxiety and its relationship to the future, as we think about those things, as a Christian, our future is worked out. I heard somebody talking to a preacher one time, and they were talking about certain things of the world, and the conversation kind of turned to death and certain things, and the preacher said, "I don't know about you, but I plan on living forever." Isn't there some truth in that? I plan on living forever, don't you? Don't we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, don't we plan on living forever? That is something, a gift that God has given us. It's not going to conquer all things. Certainly we fall short of God. But when it comes to anxieties and thinking about the future, it helps to know that as a Christian, our future is worked out. A peace that the world does not have. Certainly we're going to go through anxieties. And what does the Bible encourage us to do? Take those to God. And it says when we take those to God, it says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Certainly our hearts and minds need to be guarded. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." In the next verse, it says, rest for what? Rest for your soul. Matthew chapter 11. When our souls are at rest, when we understand that, it puts us in a better place to go throughout this life. What a gift! See, the person of the world can say, "Look, I've got all this money, I've got all this earthly security." But the Christian can say, "You know what, I might not have the same type of physical security you have, but you know what I do have? A spiritual security that perhaps you don't even understand. That all things will work out." See, I would say the rich young ruler, he had a crisis of perspective. And although Peter, I don't think he's making a massive mistake here, but in his questioning, he's almost falling into the trap of, "Let me look at everything that I've lost." And God's almost like, "No, look at what you've gained. Look at what you've gained. Have you looked at what you've gained? The peace that's with Jesus. The peace that we have as a Christian. What a blessing that is." I think sometimes we focus so hard on the things that we've lost that we never look at what we've gained. Perhaps that was a problem with the rich young ruler. He was so focused on those things that he was going to lose. He was so focused on those things, he couldn't see that which he was going to gain. He was going to gain a peace that would surpass all understanding if he followed the Lord. But certainly it appears that he might have missed out on that. Number one, when we're looking at those things which we've gained a peace. But number two is we have gained a family. Haven't we gained a family in the Lord? And I don't know if you think of it this way, but really it's the largest family that's out there. Right? Because you think of physical families, I mean, physical families only go so far. But when you're talking about the family of the Lord, we understand we're few in number. You know, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, talking about the narrow path and the broad path. But our family, you think about it, is our family almost in every country? Now, we might have to dig and try to find them, right? They might be back somewhere hidden because of the way their government is perceiving Christianity. But could I almost go to any place in the world and run into a brother or sister in Christ? And I'm talking about those who have been added to the church. Is it very possible that I could? I tell you what, I've been surprised in places that I've traveled and the people that I've run into. It's really quite amazing. The family that you've gained. Now we understand, even in the context, it's talking about family that's lost. It talks about brothers and sisters and mothers and brothers, and it talks about all that. And certainly we can focus on that, and certainly we want to help those individuals, but certainly if you dwell on that too long, couldn't that lead you into a depression and lead you away from God? Don't focus on that which you've lost, focus on that which you've gained. How many brothers and sisters have you gained? Have you ever thought of it that way? When you became a Christian, how many brothers did you gain? How many sisters did you gain? How many fathers did you gain? How many mothers did you gain? We're talking about a family. We're talking about God's family. Don't focus on that which you've lost. Focus on that which you've gained. And it's interesting that he says a hundredfold. It says, you shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. I know that people have lost family over the cause of Christ. I understand that. I understand that I'm included in that number. I think we don't have to go too far until we see that in our own family, here or there. But you think about that. Are you focused so much on that which you've lost that you can't look at that which you've gained? How many brothers and sisters have you gained? How many mothers and fathers have you gained? Can I count the faces of my brothers and sisters? Can I count the faces of my fathers and my mothers? Can I count them? We are so focused on the negative sometimes that it takes us away from some of the joys of the Christian life, some of the blessings of the Christian life. We'll so focus on that which is lost. We'll focus on the loss of physical security, but we won't acknowledge our spiritual security that we've gained. We'll focus so much on the physical family that we've lost that we won't focus on the spiritual family that we've gained. And isn't that some form of neglect? When we don't look at those things which God has given us, those things which we've gained, not the things which we have lost. Satan is very good on our perspective, is he not? He wants to turn your focus. He wants to turn your focus to those things that he knows are going to bring you down, those things that are going to get you to walk away from the Christian life, instead of looking on those things that truly matter and are beautiful and wonderful blessings, blessings that the world will not have. The world will not have the blessing of the peace which Jesus Christ provides. The world will not have the blessing of the Christian family that spreads so far. He's always working on our minds. Perhaps that's why the Bible focuses on the mind so much. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Colossians chapter 3, and verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. I'm not trying to make it easy, but I'm just saying that if you focus so much on that which you've lost, you might end up like the rich young ruler. He's like, I'm going to lose all this. I'm going to lose all this physical security. I'm going to lose all these things. I can't do this. He wouldn't focus for a minute on those things that could be gained by following Jesus Christ. So much to gain. Do we focus on those blessings? Do we focus on those things? We're so focused on the losses of life that we don't appreciate those things that we've gained. Sometimes those losses just become so big that we can't see through. It becomes like a fog, and that fog sometimes leads us away from God instead of leading us to Him. Look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ. Who has such a family? A family that you perhaps have taken for granted? You know, Paul, he talks about Timothy, he talks about a son in the faith. I have one son, but how many sons do I have when it comes to this family of our Lord? How many daughters do I have in the family of our Lord? How many brothers do I have? How many sisters do I have? How many brothers? How many fathers? How many mothers in relation to this? I've gained such a family that I can't keep up with all of them. It's a special thing. Situations where we have older members almost coming in and mentoring younger members, and we have the brother and sister. I mean, we just have the whole dynamic. That which we've gained. You know, I looked at that and I read that over and over and over again. It says, "You shall not receive 100-fold now in this time." And I just kept reading that over and over again, and I just started thinking about it. When you think about the physical security and you compare it to spiritual security, have we not gained 100-fold? When we think of family, when we became Christians, did we not gain in family 100-fold? 100-fold. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Behold, the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." We are children of God. What love God has bestowed upon us, that we can become part of His family, that we can be adopted and we can become part of His family, the family that crosses every division that the world says matters. It says, "Oh, you can't be united or family with somebody of a different race." The Bible says, "No, we're all from one blood. Different classes. Oh, we got to be divided because of the classes. You make more money than I do. We got to be divided. Slave and free. Male, female, all one in Christ Jesus. A family that goes across all those divisions that the world says matter. A family that is so big and so numerous. Certainly we understand we're small in perspective, but in terms of if I go to some other country, odds are that there are some brothers and sisters in Christ there. It might be hard to find them, but they're there. And because we're children of God, we are in that family, and we've been adopted in that family, and we're thankful for that opportunity. And because we're part of that family, when you're part of the family, what do you typically are a part of? You're a part of that inheritance. And that's what the Bible tells us. We're children of God. We've been adopted in this family. It's a family where we are heirs. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, it says, if we are children of God, basically it's saying, then heirs of God and the joint heirs with Christ. And indeed we suffer with Him that we may also be glorified together. If we are part of God's family, we have a family that is big and numerous and so many brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, just all these dynamic sons and daughters, all of that collectively, we've all been adopted into this family, we are going to receive an inheritance of eternal life. I lost physical security when I became a Christian, but what did you gain? You gained spiritual security. I lost some physical family when I became a Christian, and I'm not trying to talk it down. I understand, but I can tell you what, if you focus on that too long, it's just going to take you to a bad place. Certainly, you've lost physical family, but can you acknowledge the spiritual family that you gained? And our last thing that I think we gained, certainly there are so many things that we could look at and consider this morning of things that we've gained from the Christian life, but we gain peace, we gain a family, and you know something else we gain? We gain hope. And that's something that the world doesn't have. You know, you think of the rich young rulers, it's almost like he was searching for something, wasn't he? He's like, I want something off in the future, maybe something beyond this life, but he couldn't give up those things that he's like, I'm going to lose these things. It's almost like he lost perspective on that which he could have gained. He could have gained hope. A hope of what? Eternal life. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 it says, "And hope of eternal life with God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." What has Jesus promised? We certainly have the forgiveness of sins. We're added to the church. He's the Savior of the body. And we understand that that is connected with being with Him eternally one day. What have you gained? You know, many will come to the end of their life and they start to make this connection. I don't have a hope. I don't have a hope of what's to come. But the Christian does not have that problem. When death knocks on our door, whenever it comes, unexpectedly, expectedly, in terms of just the years of our life have basically expired, we come to the end of those years. Those years have been whole and filled with living life. And we come to the end, it is comforting to know that our best days are ahead of us. Isn't that what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21? He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Do you understand that your better days are ahead of you? It doesn't matter how bad today is, your better days are ahead. Your better days are ahead. There's always a better day when it comes to the Christian life. You can have some bad days. You can have some down days. You can have days of persecution. You can have days of abuse. You can have days of hardship. You can have all that. But there's always a better day. See, the world tries to convince themselves of that many times. But is it really the case? With the Christian, there is always a better day. A hope of heaven. A hope of life with God. With our spiritual family, a family that will last forever. What a special thing that is. And to be promised such a thing and know that the person that is backing that promise is not going to leave you, that's powerful. You know, Jesus is certainly our friend. He's our advocate. He's on our side. And we think about all those things, but when I think about a friend, I think of somebody that's not going to leave me out to dry. And certainly Jesus is not going to do that. We think of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I'm not going to say that you don't feel like that sometimes. Paul felt like that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, at my first defense, no one stood with me. He said, no one stood with me. I felt like I was abandoned. That's what he's saying. But all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But he continues on in the passage and he says, but the Lord was with me. The Lord was with me. What a hope we have. When God is our ally, when God is on our side, when God makes a promise, what security comes with that? What peace comes with that? What a hope that comes with that when God is on our side? You consider these things, and I think it's very easy to fall into the trap of the rich young ruler. I think it's very easy to fall into the trap that perhaps some of the disciples and perhaps even the apostles are struggling with. Look at all that we have lost. But when I read verses 29 and following, it's almost like Jesus is trying to grab a hold of them and say, look over here! Look over here! I'm not saying that you haven't lost things. I'm not saying that there hasn't been sacrifices. I'm not saying that there hasn't been hardship. I'm not saying that there hasn't been trials. I'm not saying that there hasn't been tribulations. But look at what you have gained. You've gained a peace that surpasses all understanding. You've gained a family that you cannot count. You have gained a hope of an eternal life. He says, in the age to come, eternal life. Satan is always working on our minds. He's always trying to get us to focus on things that many times don't need to be focused upon. It's so easy. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, all these things are around us all the time. Sometimes even Satan disguises them where they even look like they're good things and things that may be beneficial to us in the long run. Perhaps he tries to take us to a dark place and focus on those things which we've lost. But what is Jesus trying to tell us? Look at that which you have gained. I think that was certainly Paul's philosophy as you look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. To live is Christ and to die is gain. But he even goes beyond that. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. What have you gained? To Paul talking there, he's like, I lost it all. I lost prestige. I lost livelihood. He could probably go on a big long list. When he's writing some of his letters, he's talking about his family in relation to his physical family, in relation to Israel. And he's like, a lot of them aren't obeying the gospel. Paul very well understood many of the losses of life. But he says, I count them all rubbish, that I may gain Christ. I'm not trying to minimize some of these very powerful and emotional things that we understand are lost. Certainly we fight for hope every day. We fight for hope that people will turn around and make changes. But I can tell you, if you focus on that every day of your life, if you focus on the losses, if you say, I lost all these physical things, I lost my job, I lost this, 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 if you focus on that, you might find yourself in the situation of the rich young ruler, where he's very sad. And he can't look for a second at that which he could gain. What did Paul say he was gaining? He was gaining Christ. And to gain Christ is a beautiful, wonderful, and powerful thing that comes with so many blessings. And Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. We'll look at all the little things that happen to us throughout life. This little thing happened to me. This little thing happened to me. But if we can just sit down and gain our perspective for a second and think of those things which we've gained, how can we not feel blessed every moment of our lives? Do you feel blessed? If you don't feel blessed, I would suggest that perhaps we're focusing on the wrong thing. And perhaps that needs correction from time to time. I think it's easy for Satan to drag us down, but God is trying to point you and ask you the question, what have you gained? You've gained a peace that the world does not have. You've gained a family that the world does not have. You have gained a hope that the world does not have. What have you gained? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation anyway, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.